Okay, we're going to take a little different route this morning from we've been on studying the book of Exodus, but we're going to take a little bit different route this morning. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 4. We'll begin there. We're going to talk a little bit about wisdom this morning. I already gave you a little bit of mine. I know it didn't amount to much. It all adds up. 1 Kings chapter 4. I don't know where I told you to go, but go to 1 Kings chapter 4 if you will. I want to thank you for the glasses because I can't see a darn thing this morning. In verse 29, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom. And exceedingly much understanding and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman the Chalcol, and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now turn, if you will, over to Proverbs, very first proverb, if you will. Proverbs 1. We have actually 31 Proverbs. The first 29 Proverbs are the Proverbs of Solomon. Not even close to all the Proverbs that Solomon gave us, but he gave us 3,000 Proverbs. I don't remember how many songs he gave us, 5,000 and some songs. The first 28 Proverbs, or first 24 Proverbs, I don't know who copied those and gave them to us, but Proverbs 25 through 29 were copied by a person by the name of King Hezekiah. He had his men copy the Proverbs of Solomon. We'll take a look at one of those shortly. And then the final two Proverbs, 30 and 31, were from Agur and a man by the name of Lemuel. I can't hardly say that. And so we have all these Proverbs in the Bible, and they're given to us for a very good reason. First proverb, we're just going to look at a few things here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Notice all the things here, to know wisdom and instruction. Not only does Proverbs and the entire Bible give us wisdom and instruction, it also gives us understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment, or if you have a Scofield Bible, it'll say righteousness and justice and equity. Anyone know what equity means? Well, you should.
Equality.
Yeah, equality. Equity. Equity, if you own a home, yes, equity is what your treasures, your rewards, what you, if you have equity in your home, means it's worth so much. So the wisdom, the knowledge, and everything you gain from the Bible, from the Word of God, is equity. It's equity, that's right. To give subtlety, which is not the correct word, it should be prudence, which Schofield has it properly translated, to give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. I don't know if you got all the things that were listed there, but there sure was a lot, wasn't there? Proverbs in just 6 verses. Not only Proverbs, but the entire Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Solomon didn't get to Proverbs just accidentally or because he was brilliant. He was given wisdom by God because he asked for it. When God asked Solomon what could he do for him, Solomon said, I just want wisdom. And that, you know, that pleased the Lord, and the Lord gave him a multitude of things. You know something? First of all, we're told in the Bible that faith is what pleases God. And you add to that wisdom, and you really please God, and he'll reward you. We're going to take a look at one particular proverb this morning, and all the wisdom in it that'll help us live our life in this crazy world. You know, we do live in a crazy world, do we not? If you look at all the things going on around about us today, we're trying to take God. They've been trying to take God out of everything in our society. They've been trying to eliminate him, eradicate him. Read the second psalm if you ever get a chance, Psalm number 2. And they just want to get rid of God, any reference to him, because they don't want any accountability. Our politicians are the most demonic people that I've ever seen. If you're a politician running for office, you know one of the things you're required to do? You're required to condone homosexuality and abortion. Two of the most damnable things in the world. Homosexuality and abortion. I picked up my mother's mail yesterday, and one of the magazines said, The Woman Inside. That's one of the magazines. And I said, you know, there's a lot of men like that. The Woman Inside. It's demonic. I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, the Bible, in the world that we live in, all the many things going on, the Bible will give you wisdom so that you can live in your own world representing the Lord Jesus Christ. When you acquire the wisdom that God gives you, you'll be able to deal with everything that goes on in the world today. You'll be able to deal with your own circumstances, no matter what they are. You'll be able to be content. You'll be able to have joy and peace and all these things that was given to Solomon until he blew it and threw it away. You see, we're going to take a look at something that I call good king, bad king. We're going to take a look at that this morning. But the problem with wisdom is, if I don't use it, it's useless. If I don't apply it to my life, it's wasted effort. When I acquire the wisdom that God gives me, I need to be able to apply it to my life. So turn over, if you will, with all this in mind. We were going to cover some other proverbs, but I don't think we'll take time to do it. But I want you to go to Proverbs chapter here, if you will, 25. And we'll just cover a few things in the 25th proverb. Verse 1, if you will. These are also, notice if you will, these are also proverbs of Solomon. That is also on top of the other, all the others compiled here, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Now let me take a minute and explain who Hezekiah was. Hezekiah was the king of Judah. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you'll realize that Israel was divided into two parts, north and south. The north part was made up of Israel, the 10 tribes, but the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, had divided and separated, and they were called Judah. Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and at the same time that he reigned, there was a king in Israel. Now, that king was a bad king, but Hezekiah was a good king. And being a good king, he read these proverbs and he thought, well, you know, that's not enough. These are also the proverbs of Solomon. So Hezekiah told his men to copy them and write them down, and God put them in the Bible for us. Isn't that something? Hezekiah was a good king. So turn over, if you will, hold your place, turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 with me, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, if you will. In verse 1, Hezekiah chapter 29, verse 1, 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now back up to chapter 28, verse 26, if you will. Now the rest of his acts, that is the acts of Ahaz, and of all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Remember what we said about Israel being divided into two? And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him even in the city, and even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. So they didn't bury Ahaz with the rest of the kings because he was a bad king. God wouldn't allow that. They buried him in the city, but that could have been anywhere. But notice, if you will, Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. Now, if you go on down back here to chapter 29, verse David, it says that it says that David was the father of Hezekiah. Don't get confused. This was only a genealogical father, David, you see. Could have went all the way back to Abraham. Abraham, they could have called him his father. But Ahaz was his literal father. He was a bad king. Hezekiah took over. He said, I'm not going to be like him. And so Hezekiah was a good king, and he had Proverbs. He had Proverbs copied. No, so what does all that mean? Turn back to Proverbs, if you will. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 20. Let's go over here to Proverbs chapter 20. And you know, if we're lucky enough as a nation to have a good king or a good president or a good government, we will be blessed. We will receive all the blessings of God. We will be a blessed nation. The Lord will just provide all of our needs. But the problem is, we're not. If a good king seeks counsel from a servant of the Lord, or if a good king is the servant of the Lord, the people will prosper. In Proverbs chapter 20, look in verse 2, if you will. This is a proverb of Solomon. And he said, the fear of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. That's a good king, by the way. How do we know that? Look at verse 8, if you will. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. That's a good king. If he's not a good king, he doesn't do that. You know, some time back, a man by the name of Al Gore ran for president of the United States of America. Despicable, rotten, lousy human being. And he ran after another man by the name of Bill Clinton ran. Now, I don't know too much about Bill Clinton. I didn't think too much of him, but I'll give him credit for one thing. I know he was a man. He felt like a man, thought like a man, and acted like a man. Some of the things he did weren't honorable. But at least he was a man. And I don't think his wife is a woman. But he dealt with it in his own way, didn't he? But anyhow, Al Gore, if he would have got the presidency of this country, boy, you can hang it up, he is the most ungodly, evil, despicable human being. But thank God that the Lord protected the United States of America and Al Gore was not elected. Well, they tried everything to get him in, didn't they? They went to court and they screamed and shouted just like a bunch of spoiled little brats. And but God protected us, and we got a man by the name of George Bush, who I don't think too much of either. But he was better than nothing, you know. He was better than Al Gore and some of the other things we could have had. Anyhow, in verse 8 here, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. And then on down to verse 26. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over him. Do you know what the wheel represents? Judgment. A wheel represents judgment. You know, we live in a country that condones any immoral act. And you watch people on television, they'll say, well, we can't have the death penalty. That's cruel and terrible. What? You kill a guy who is a murderer, and the next guy that's going to think he's a murderer will think twice, won't he?
Yeah.
If I was a judge, I'll tell you what I'd do with him. I would put him on display in public square. I'd put him in a glass enclosure. Now, this is for a mild crime. And you know that guy out in Arizona, he takes them and he makes them wear pink underwear. Yeah. Yeah, he makes them wear pink uniforms.
And,
I was watching him the other day. I got to tell you this. Mike Tyson committed a crime, and the judge only gave Mike Tyson 24 hours. But Sheriff Arparo said it's going to be the worst 24 hours he ever spent. Yeah, can you imagine Mike Tyson in pink underwear? Oh, my. You never know. You never know. He might. But anyway, a wise king scattereth the wicked. A wise ruler scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel, which represents judgment. Down to verse 28, if you will. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upheld by mercy. Now, remember what we saw in verse 2? The fear of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Only if that king is a good king. If that king is not a good king and he's wicked, I don't have to fear him. I don't have to like him. And I don't have to obey his rules if he tells me not to serve my Lord and God. Amen? I don't have to. But a wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel of judgment over them. If you read Ezekiel chapter 1, you'll see the wheel. Most people don't understand what the wheel means. It's very simple. It means judgment. God's judgment. You ever get run over by something? It's not very much fun, is it? Well, God's wheel, when it rolls over people and judges them, they will not enjoy it if they're sinful. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Now, we could read a lot of verses. We won't bother doing that. Going back to Proverbs 25, if you will. We're going to skip some verses because we don't have time to cover everything, but I want you to go to verse 5, if you will. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Isn't that something? You know, we live in a nation where wickedness prevails in Congress, and the American people, if you talk to people today, and we've talked to people who come out and give us estimates on the insulation and so forth. And the American people are tired of our Congress and our government pacifying evil. And they certainly are. And I think when this next election takes place, I hope Nancy Pelosi gets voted out. Oh, what a rotten. There's only one person that I can see on the political scene that has any righteousness whatsoever, and that's a guy by the name of Huckabee. I don't know if he's real. I don't know, I just don't know. I know he's got a wrestler supporting him now. What's that wrestler's name?
Jesse Ventura.
No.
I can't remember his name. Anyhow, he's a very popular wrestler, and he's got a guy by the name of Chuck Norris supporting him, which is irrelevant. That doesn't mean anything. But he's the only one I can see on the political scene that has any clout whatsoever or any righteousness at all, and I'm not even sure it's real. But I do know one thing: when the voting comes up for the president, I'm going to go vote for one person, and that's going to be the present president of France. I'm going to write him in, and I don't know. You probably say I'm wasting my time, probably. But that's how I feel. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, back if you will. Take away the wicked from before the king. That means government. Take out the wickedness and all the wicked. And when a king gets his information and takes direction from somebody who is an advisor, a wicked advisor, hang on, folks. We're in for a terrible, terrible ride. What we need is a good king. But the only way you're going to get it is to pray for it, amen? That's the only way you're going to pray about it. And when we pray, when Christians pray, God answers our prayers and He'll preserve us. And then we're going to go down through Proverbs and we're going to take a look at our own personal life. Now we need to have a good king rule over us, do we not? We need a lot of good kings considering the fact that we live in a capitalist society, a democracy. We have a lot of rulers, a lot of kings, a lot of leaders, but most of them are corrupt. Oftentimes I think we'd be better off with one king. But then who would we get? Well, I'll tell you who we're going to get, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate king. He's my king, and someday he'll rule on this earth, and I'll be here with him. But let's go down to verse 8, if you will. In our own personal life, how do we need to handle ourselves if we're going to be righteous? Look in verse 8, if you will. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover or disclose not a secret to another. Well, what does that mean to me? That means don't go around the neighborhood and say, you know what my neighbor did to me? Yeah, you know what that good-for-nothing rascal, he's just no good, and he did this, and you know, whatever he did might have been accidental. And what the Bible is saying is, go talk to your neighbor first. You have a problem with your neighbor? Go talk to him. Be man enough, be open enough, be good enough, be righteous enough to go talk to the person first. Don't go around the neighborhood condemning them. It's the worst thing you can do. Pretty good proverb, I say. Simple wisdom, I would say. Ron.
Also, we should add the wisdom, too, if somebody tells us something, not just formulate an opinion because of that.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear.
That's absolutely true. I was going
to
bring that.
Thrive on trying to stir and create.
They absolutely do. And I think we're going to point that out here shortly, probably, if we have enough time. But that is a good point. Don't take everything somebody tells you literally. I've learned a long time ago not to do that. Boy, did it get me in trouble. If somebody, you see the boys in the coffee shop sit around talking about so-and-so, you know. And so-and-so might not be such a bad person, but you form an opinion because everybody says he's, wrong. Anyhow, go to the neighbor and talk to your neighbor. And by the way, the neighbor means not just your immediate neighbor. That means everybody that you associate with, everybody you know, everybody you talk to, the guy in the hardware store, that's your neighbor. Okay, on down if you will. Verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Let's see, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, snow means the harvest is done and it's time to take a break. That's what the snow means. So as the cold of snow time is in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to those who send him. In other words, if you're sent with a message, give the message the way you were told to give it. You know, if someone sends you with a message, don't go with the message and get it all twisted up and make the guy that sent you with the message look stupid. You know anybody that does that? I do. Yeah. Don't go give a false message. That's a tale bearer, you see. And you'll be like, and when you do that, and when you go give the right message that you were sent with, you give the right message, by the way, you know what that reminds me of? A faithful messenger is a guy who gets the Bible correct. You know, the wrong messenger is a guy that gets the Bible all fouled up. Oh, I believe you can go to heaven by faith in Christ, but. No, God didn't send you with that message. The right message that God sent you with is preach the gospel. Christ died on the cross for your sins, and all you have to do is believe in Him. Anything else is a false message. You see. And so that goes both ways. Verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. In other words, a bragger is usually a loser. A bragger is usually a loser. A bragger is of you. You know what I can do? Oh, man, I do this, and I did that. And I'll tell you something else a bragger does. A bragger will usually put you down. They'll condemn you, criticize you. You know why? Because they're a loser.
Here goes self-esteem.
Yeah. In order to justify themselves, they have to be critical of everybody else. So when you're criticizing somebody, just remember, you're sounding like the loser. You know, there are some people who need to be criticized properly in the right way, but there are times when you're better off not being critical, you're better off keeping your mouth shut because you're going to look just like the person that you're criticizing. Isn't that foolish? On down, if you will. A bragger is usually a loser. And down in verse 16, I'd like to cover 15, but we won't have time, I don't think. Verse 16, hast thou found honey? Eat as much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Wow, think about that. I don't want you to think about vomiting, that's kind of sick. But, on the other hand, what's the greed and gluttony, right? If you found something good, enjoy what you've got and don't be a glutton. I've never eaten too much honey. I like honey. But I'll tell you what, it'll make you sick if you do, won't it? Just like anything, too much of anything is not good for you. If you have a little in life, good. Enjoy what you have. But when you get too much in life, I don't know how many stories I've read of people that have won money, especially lotteries, and their life just went nuts. Their life went south. They got on drugs, alcohol, hung around with the wrong people. They had family members they didn't know existed, friends they didn't know existed, and it destroyed and ruined their life. They just couldn't handle it. Greed and gluttony will do you in. Be filled with what you get, and don't leave some for somebody else, right? Leave some for the bear. They like honey. Verse 17, I like this. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. In other words, don't be a lousy nuisance. There's nothing worse than a nuisance, is there? I used to have some friends, and one of my own boys used to call me up and just, the first thing they'd say, and I've told you this 100 times, they'd say, how you doing, Dan? Oh, I'm doing fine. And then they start talking about themselves. And I'd have to sit on the phone for an hour. I hated that. That's a nuisance. Two of them were preachers, by the way. And finally, one day, I was together with all of them, and I said to them, well, you know, I hate talking on the phone. And I didn't say anything about them. Well, I just hate talking on a phone. There's just something about that, and it never happened again. But they were a nuisance. You know, if you have a problem and you want somebody to listen to your problem, that's one thing. But to brag about yourself and just be a nuisance, you know, just be running over to your neighbor's house and just spend all your time there and just, you know, just don't be a nuisance. Don't wear out your welcome, Ron.
You should learn to help yourself and not expect others to do it for you.
That's the truth. That is the truth. You know, I told, we have a neighbor, a fellow across the street that's really not very likable. And he just had some work done on his house, and I would have been willing to help him except for one thing. He won't help himself. And I learned a long time ago, don't help anybody. I won't help anybody that won't help herself. If they will attempt to help themselves, I'll be glad to help them. But I'm not going to do it. And I've been through that. But you're absolutely right. Verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul. You know what a maul is? Actually, Schofield has it properly translated. A club of war and a sword and a sharp arrow. You know what? In other words, don't go lie about people. Goes back to what we were talking about before, a talebearer. Don't go lying about people and making up things. I'll tell you what, it'll come back to haunt you someday, won't it? It really will. Don't go telling lies about people. You know what happens when you begin to lie? It builds up into another lie. In order to support that lie, I have to tell another one. And in order to support that lie, I got to tell another one. One lie just builds up on top of another. It's easier to tell the truth, or it's easier to not talk about people at all, isn't it? It really is. Verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Ron can tell you what a broken tooth is like. I can too.
I can.
Yeah, we all can, can't we, at one time or another. A broken tooth hurts. Matter of fact, I think it's probably one of the most painful things there is. A broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Can you walk on a foot out of joint? No, can't walk on it. So, you know what? Who do you trust? You put your confidence in an unfaithful man, and I'll tell you, in time of trouble is like a broken tooth. You know what's going to happen to this country if the wrong person gets elected? As president, as governor, any politician, if they're unfaithful and you put your confidence in them, I'll tell you what, as a Christian especially, your life is going to be a mess. You're going to worry, and you won't be able to sleep. And it's sort of like when Al Gore didn't get elected, they had some people on television that couldn't sleep because of it. And they wanted him to be elected, and they just loved him to pieces. And when he didn't get elected, they couldn't sleep. Isn't that stupid? Putting that much confidence and faith in a man who can't be trusted in the first place? Pretty stupid, isn't it? Put your confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing. Plus nothing. And verse 20, and we'll probably close with this. Maybe we'll be out of time soon. He that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon, the word here is soda, mire, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Boy, I got to tell you about this. If you take away a garment in cold weather, the person's going to be cold, but it's as vinegar up on mire or soda. Do you ever mix vinegar and soda? I used to do it to clean out drains. It foams and bubbles, and if you can stand it, you can drink it. It'll clean out your guts, too. I couldn't do it because it doesn't. But I'll tell you what, vinegar and soda, when you put them together, it just bubbles and boils. But God said, it's like a person that singeth songs to a heavy heart. You know, before I got saved, I was telling, I forget when it was, the other day, I think it was. Before I got saved, I went to a church, and one of the members of the church played the guitar and sang, and he'd come over to my house with his guitar, and he'd sing. And I didn't want to hear it. And in his own way, he was trying to tell me how to be saved, I guess. But I got so sick of that, I couldn't stand it. And I got to the point where if I saw him coming to the door, I wanted to go hide. Now, I didn't want to sit there listening 2 hours to the songs that his mother loved. Yeah. I got so sick of that. He was a Christian. But you know what he was? A bothersome nuisance. I didn't need that. What I needed to do is somebody tell me how to be saved so I could start leading my own life, right? That's what I needed. But he never told me how to be saved. He just came and sang his religious songs to me. What a joke. He that singeth songs to a heavy heart. And I had a heavy heart. But I didn't need him singing to me. And so when God writes these Proverbs, he knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't he? You do all these things. It's like he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. If you got a heavy heart, you don't want to listen to songs. You want something to help you out. And then finally, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. You know how to pay your enemy back? Yeah, kindness. The Lord will reward you. You always get rewarded for kindness. You know, it's one thing to be kind to your friends and family, isn't it? But being kind to an enemy, that's really hard to do, isn't it? I've had a couple enemies over the years, but being kind to your enemy is not easy. But the Lord will reward you. And then finally, we're going to close with this. I'd like to go on, but there's so much more here, but we're running out of time. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Well, you can translate that for yourself, but this one I got to get to. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Wow. Boy, can I elaborate on that, but I'd probably split the church right down the middle, and there wouldn't be anybody here next week. But live in a house hop means, really, go hide in the attic. How many of you would like to hide? You know what? The bottom line here is treat your husband and your wife with respect and kindness, and makes life so much easier, doesn't it? And I don't know if you've ever seen a brawling woman, but a brawling man really isn't much better, you know. But you're better going living in the attic, or a corner of the housetop really means hide in the attic, and it's better than living with a brawling woman. So, you know what? The Proverbs were given to us to give us wisdom and understanding and learn how to live our life in Christ and not put your faith and confidence in kings, because there really aren't very many kings that you can rely on and trust. You know why? It's called sin. They are sinners. And I don't put my faith and trust in a politician, because I know the Bible says that we're all sinners. I know they're sinners. I know they can easily be corrupted. I know they easily are corrupted. George Bush and the president of the past president of Mexico and the prime minister of Canada were trying to bring about a North American Union. In other words, they were trying to make Mexico, the United States of America, and Canada a global, what do they call it? Unina Mexicanada. I'm serious. They were trying to bring it about. What? Mexican-American, something or other like that. Why do you think all these people are coming across our border, and why do you think that the border patrols are being arrested and put in prison, and not the people that are coming across the border? That's the goal. You see why I don't like President George Bush? That's just one of the many things he's done. Look up the Patriot Act, if you will. Do a little study on the Patriot Act and see if it's patriotism or not. Now, George Bush is a complete jerk. You know why? Because God said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's a sinner. And if he doesn't obey the Word of God, and if he doesn't get into it and learn it and read it, and if he doesn't go get wisdom from a servant of God, don't trust him or any politician. But then on the other hand, you and I aren't much better, are we? We're all sinners. And if I don't get into the Word of God and that tells me how to treat my neighbors and treat people and treat others and tell me how to understand things and this is why this happened, then I'm not much better. Well, I need to go to the Bible and learn how to live my own life before I start criticizing and condemning others, do I not? I sure do. And if you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, it's really quite simple, isn't it? John 6:47 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, it doesn't say that, but Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever believeth in me hath everlasting life." It's that simple. Whosoever believeth in Christ has everlasting life. You can run down the aisle, you can confess, you can call, you can repent, you can do all these things, but if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, hang it up. And then get into His Word and read it. Get wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment. It's all in there. I don't know how many times I've seen people go to church to straighten out their lives. They were going through divorce. They were going through this problem. They had a problem with alcohol, drugs, whatever. That won't straighten out your life. You've got to straighten out your own life. Jesus isn't going to automatically just straighten things out for you. It doesn't work that way. If you've got a problem in your life, deal with it. Straighten it out. Get into your mind. Get it right. Get into the Word of God. That's what you need to do. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for all the wisdom in your Word, the discretion, understanding. You tell us how to relate to humanity, how to relate to you, how to look at the world in light of all the evil and sin in the world today, and how to protect ourselves. How to look at things rightfully, how to rightfully judge, and just how to live in this crazy world without fear, just live with peace, joy, and contentment, knowing that Jesus Christ is still the boss. And we'll thank you for Jesus Christ and His blood and the cross. In his name, amen. Okay.